I'm a special ops guy from Vietnam. We know this turf extremely well. When veterans come out, especially this last 20-year run we had, they are trying to do two things. They're trying to figure out, number one, who am I now? Number two, what's my lane in life going to be? That's not easy to do, but we do have a place to start.
Welcome to the DuPage Business Beat, a podcast about today's biggest business issues told from a Chicagoland perspective. Hello, Chicagoland, and welcome to the DuPage Business Beat. I'm Greg Bedloff, President and CEO of Choose DuPage, and your host for today's podcast. DuPage County is home to thousands of veterans, many of whom own and operate small businesses within their communities. Unfortunately, many veterans across the nation still struggle to find employment or start up a new business. That's where the Veteran Business Project comes in. This organization promotes small business opportunities for members of the military, as well as veterans and their spouses. And while they work with veterans across the nation, they're making an impact right here in DuPage County. To help me understand the project and their mission, I'm joined today by two of the organization's leaders, Lynn Lauder, CEO and co-founder, and Dale Eisenberg, president and co-founder. Lynn and Dale, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
Good to be here.
I want to talk to you both today about the Veterans Business Project and the work you're doing here in DuPage County, but let's start with the big picture. Historically, how have veterans contributed to the economy, and what does their role look like today, maybe compared to what it looked like post-World War II or any of the other previous military excursions that we've faced in this country?
Post-World War II, that's a good starting point. 49.7% of our returned veterans became small business owner operators. And I'm a small-town hick from downstate, and that would be emblematic of what was happening in my town with what was happening all over America. We had many veterans that had come home and started businesses of their own. They rode their own rowboat. They did very well.
Repeat that number for me, Lynn.
49.7%.
So nearly half of all returning veterans post-World War II.
Yes.
Went out and started their own small business.
And they did well.
Okay. And what's it look like now?
Post-9/11, less than 5% because they can't get a loan. That is the major impediment. And that is the reason that Dale and I started into this endeavor about 13 and a half years ago.
So that was your inspiration to get this organization up and running, was to try to help veterans returning from conflict or maybe even not returning from conflict figure out a way to return to the post-World War II days of capital access.
Exactly.
And then tell me about how did you go about doing that? How do you start this program, and what is that program intended to do to help businesses get access to capital?
Let me just dial it back a little bit here, set the stage. Years ago, I stood up a veterans program at a public university in Missouri. I was out there not as an academic, but to provide a support structure and build that. It really boiled down to transfer credits and mental wellness and then getting a job. But shortly after being there, started getting people coming in on nearly a daily basis, veterans, and asking, how do you get in business for yourself? This was regardless of age, race, gender, branch of service, whatever their job was in the service, and college major. That was always the same. I was fascinated. When I came back, I dived into the research, and that's when I found out how many veterans had gotten into business post-World War II, and then what the major problem was, access to capital. That's when I got a hold of my good friend over here, Dale Eisenberg, the son of a World War II pilot. Dale is very successful in business. He's my friend, but I'm not bragging. He's good. Been a restaurateur, multiple store, multiple restaurant owner operator for around 50 years. So we sat down and looked at this situation with finances, and we said, this doesn't sound right, particularly when we will lend college-bound teenagers here in America tens of thousands of dollars with no credit score collateral, but a veteran who has basically figuratively and literally in some cases put their lives on the line for our country. So that caused Dale and I to found Veteran Business Project, and then one thing led to another. And actually, I can just close that gap real quick. As we're looking to get loan programs, we started getting calls from baby boomers looking to sell. It's called the Silver Tsunami. It's the largest wealth transfer in the history of America going on right now. These people, baby boomers that have owned and created their own businesses now, they're looking to sell and retire 85% of the time. Their kids don't want it. And that's what led them to our doorstep, just word of mouth. And that's what got us going.
And Dale, so welcome to the podcast.
Thanks.
You were a successful entrepreneur. You were a restaurant owner and then switched gears and decided to do what you could do to help veterans.
Well, no,
start
I'm
a
still
business.
In the restaurant business.
Okay.
It's been 50 years in Park Ridge and Toledo, Ohio, and So what we did is Lynn and I were introduced by one of my, originally he was one of my busboys at the restaurant in Park Ridge, and he became our state senator. And he knew that I wanted, yeah, this fellow named Dave Sullivan, great guy.
Sure, I know Dave.
You know David? Mm-hmm. See, small world, right?
It's a very small world.
Yeah, so he was clearing tables and hostessing. And so we became very good friends over the years that I had the Pancake House there. And he knew that I wanted to start developing some franchise concepts based around a restaurant called the Choo Choo in Des Plaines. Lynn has a background in that. So we got together, but I always wanted to be involved with a veterans program. After 9/11, I wanted to do something substantial to help them get into business. And actually, people have asked, so what was my motivation? I didn't know how to talk to veterans and how the first thing to do to help them. So I happened to be in an airport one time, and I saw the backpack of active duty soldier, Business for Dummies. And I wanted so bad to go up to him, but I was a little intimidated, and I didn't know what to do. This was after 9/11. So meeting Lynn allowed me to learn how to talk to veterans, how to work together. And he was the one that told me, if you want to help a veteran, you take them one at a time, you grab them by the arm, you befriend them, you find out how things are going. So I learned, certainly it's nice to thank somebody for their service, but my way of speaking to a veteran is to ask them, how are things going for you? Are you working? Are you doing? And it's amazing how quickly they'll come forth with what things are going on. So that was my relationship and how I met Lynn through David. And as he said, we started knocking on doors out in D.C. and getting a lot of them shut. But we did find some people that were interested in helping us to try and amend the GI Bill. That didn't make it past the Senate, which did provide a bill. But after that, and I don't know if I want to jump this quickly all the way to Rosie's, but we will. So I had a restaurant in Naperville, and Lynn and I have been close because of this relationship for 13 years. And so several years ago, right after COVID, things were such a mess that I didn't think trying to build the restaurant up again, the train restaurant in Naperville, was worth our time. Plus, as Lynn pointed out to me, he said, you know, we're very relational as veterans. He said, and I'm getting the feeling some of these veterans are looking at me. I'm advocating to get into business. And here I am. I've never been in business. So we decided we'd take that store and we would open a place called Rosie's Home Cooking. I knew from my standpoint as a civilian that we wanted to do more than just wave flags on the 4th of July. Lynn comes from Vietnam era where he's just happy if nobody's yelling at him. So, and you can expound on that. But so when we opened, and to his, I told Lynn, I said, you and your wife will become better known than the mayor in Naperville. And all that came to pass. And that's where we are today with Rosie's Home Cooking. And now we keep talking. So go ahead, Lynn.
Well, tell me a little bit about, tell me about Rosie's Kitchen and where it's located and what services it offers and who you employ and what's the tie-in to helping the veteran community.
Okay. Rosie's is currently located at 1567 North Aurora Road in Naperville. We've been around about 3 years and 4 months, and I'm just going to come right at it. We have won the best restaurant in Naperville for breakfast through the Best of Naperville competition for every single year we've been in business. And that is because of my buddy over here. He knows how to own and operate a restaurant. I figured if I was going to get into this, I've always wanted to own a diner. I'm a small town hick from downstate, and when I was a kid, every little town had a diner. So never got out of my head. I would suggest don't wait till you're 76 to open one, but we did together. And we started out, if you would, and by the way, and we've been fortunate, whereas Dale saw this coming better than I did, we proudly caption below the logo of our restaurant, veteran owned and operated. You know, Vietnam veteran, that wasn't the most fashionable thing to be in our country for a good long while. Thankfully, we're not there anymore. People have been very, very supportive of our endeavor. So it looks like a 50-60s diner. We have really good food and service. You can look at our Google reviews. Again, this is a tribute to Dale because we're very serious about that. It looks like you come in on the right, it's a missing man table. On the left is a picture of Rosie the Riveter from World War II and a lot of Rockwells in there.
Okay.
So we want to celebrate people that have and honor people that have done good things for our country.
Okay.
And then we have some really good rock and roll going, 50s, 60s. And we create an atmosphere in there. We hope people will come and relax and feel themselves at home and And that's what we've been doing. We're going to relocate, by the way, here.
You are?
We are.
Let's talk about that.
Okay. This is coming up. We hope to open our doors in early December over here in the City Gate Center in the northwest section, if you will, of Naperville. It's called the City Gate Center. It's owned by John Calamos. He was a forward air controller in Vietnam.
He was a guest on our podcast 2 episodes ago when we talked about his book, The Sky's the Limit. Hello, John, if you're listening, always good to have John in tune with what's happening in DuPage County. And as you mentioned, his military service, I'm sure he's very well aligned with your core goals and values.
Well, he is, because he was up in the air and I was one of the slobs on the ground calling for close air support. So we know precisely what he was doing, much to his credit. Mm-hmm. He did some great things. And then went on, became a gentleman of much success in high finance. So we feel fortunate to be over there.
So how does the restaurant tie into the Veterans Business Project? Is there any opportunities for training? Is there any opportunities for folks to learn more about what you guys did to open this business and how it can be a success? And what are some of the pitfalls or one of some of the traps that folks should look out for? Because, you know, as we all know, you open a restaurant and you automatically just start printing money because it's the easiest business in the world to run, isn't it, Dale?
Absolutely. Absolutely. In fact, it all dovetails nicely into what we're doing. So what we did is we've decided to convert, Lynn and I, our restaurant into a nonprofit organization. So now it's a nonprofit restaurant where the bottom line, hopefully there will be some, flows up to our Veteran Business Project, which is wholly owned subsidiary of Veteran Business Project. So that's a unique prospect in itself, and certainly our funders are very excited that we have something that's going to generate money instead of just waiting. Mm-hmm. And we're anticipating, it's also our Living Business School is run through Rosie's. And what that means is it's hands-on. If you can run a restaurant, I imagine you can run any business. I've had a couple other businesses other than restaurants, but really restaurants for the last 50 years. So they will come in, they'll do online work when we have some universities we're working with and to develop our curriculum. But there will also be some in-store, maybe a week or two of that. And that's where a veteran or their spouse will learn what to do when the gas goes off. They'll find out if they're better talking to people or behind the scene.
Okay. But without access to capital. You can talk about opening a restaurant from now until the cows come home. You can have the greatest concept for a new restaurant. You can be the sharpest business mind. You can be dedicated, hardworking, and committed. But if you don't have the ability to get off the ground with some seed money, it's really difficult to
take the first step.
So is that where you guys come in? Because I'm struck, you know, you mentioned it to start, Lynn, from 49% to 5%. And my assumption is that that's due to the GI Bill going away or being changed in some way, shape, or form, and lack of that capital. So how does the Veterans Business Project take that veteran who comes to see you guys and say, okay, it's a really nice business plan, but how do you get the money to get started?
Well, go ahead, Lynn.
Really, you know, when we set out with Veteran Business Project, the idea was to close that gap and open avenues for lack of access to capital. Not far down that road, we started getting calls from baby boomers looking to sell their business. It's called the Silver Tsunami. It's the largest wealth transfer in the history of America going on right now. And as it turns out, some of these people had heard about us through the grapevine. And so we started getting calls. And what these people were looking for is a possible veteran or two that might be interested in buying their business, because in 85% of the cases, their own children don't want it. So we went to our board and said, well, maybe we can work something out here. Dale's been in business a lot. I'm general counsel for a couple of companies and so on in the past. We thought maybe we could do this. And lo and behold, it worked out. We created what we call a V-Harmony matchmaking model. This is our operating modelers. E-Harmony to get
you get some marketing skills too. E-Harmony, V-Harmony, I love
it. That's it. And so V for veteran and military spouses also. So our operating model is about an 8-step model. Starts from, we get people that come in with no experience in business at all, and then we have people on the other end of the spectrum that know exactly what kind of business they want to buy. In some cases, they've already looked at it, done their due diligence, et cetera, and every step in between. We assign a one-on-one coaching relationship with a veteran who's a seasoned entrepreneur, much like Dale, and we coach them through every single one of those processes, from business selection to negotiations, straight on up to the buy-sell process. And in every case, yes, financing is going to be an issue. And so basically what I tell people, if you ever see a movie around Christmas time called It's a Wonderful Life, and you see the friendly gentleman that owns the local savings and trust, that's Jimmy Stewart, he plays George Bailey. And like in my hometown, post-World War II, in that era, there was what they call character-based lending. In a small town like Sullivan, you know, they knew your parents and grandparents, they knew you. So your chances of getting a loan were pretty good. Well, George Bailey isn't around anymore, and neither is character-based lending.
Is it all Mr. Potter like these days? I know It's a Wonderful Life like the back of my hand, Lynn. It's a Christmas classic.
I love it. So that's been the difference. Large banks have bought up small banks, and so the criteria for lending changed a great deal. Dale can go into this in more detail, but we have developed relationships with banks, and we have been able now to secure loans, help vendors get loans, rather, and get them into business. So that's a welcome change, and we've been able to make some headway there.
Is that just off of relationships, Dale? Is that off
success
stories?
It is off relationships. Well, I'll give you one story that really was our showcase. It was a couple Navy veterans that knew what we did, and they came to us with a tour boat. They needed $250,000 fast. And the boat was up in Wisconsin. It was a 1935 Chicago fire boat. So you can imagine finding a bank that says, yeah, sure, great. But we did. We were working with, I had a relationship with Wintrust Bank. I spoke to the SBA person I had dealt with. And because of having been in restaurants my whole life, I know what it is to be put away by the banks. They are not interested. So you have to be creative. You have to find ways that satisfy them. Not everyone has collateral. So there are a lot of creative ways and a lot of programs the SBA is coming up with now that will help somebody. But what they want to have is that education too, because that's almost more important to them than collateral is, do you have any experience?
Well, does participation with the Veteran Business Project, it seems to me that if I'm a bank and I know that I have a network of seasoned, pardon the pun, veterans of business and military behind me, that my business has a better chance of being successful than somebody who's just going it alone. In essence, I'm going into business with you guys, getting my, using a lot of military puns here. I got you guys watching my back, watching my six, as they say, I think, in the military, to help make sure that I'm going to be a success. I think a bank would have to look at that as potentially a check mark in the good column.
Well, that's exactly right. And the veterans that come to us, we really advocate acquisition more than startups. And the startups, we'll start with them and we'll work with them even though they're interested in doing that. And a lot of them, let's give an example of culinary school. They want to put their what they learned into effect. And so if we can find them a restaurant to start in, we say you can always build off of that. But trying to just start up, it's very difficult.
What other kind of businesses do you typically see veterans taking a flyer at?
Well, right now,
almost any kind of small business you can imagine, we've dealt with it.
We've got car washes.
Car washes, laundromats, you know, grocery stores, you name it.
Does the Veterans Business Project have an equity stake in any of these businesses that you guys are helping people get off the ground? Or is it simply advocacy?
It's
and
free
access
to them. And it's almost like becoming a franchisee. They're part of our group. Once they're in, unlike the military or anything else, they're in for life. So they can always come back if they need support, if they need just someone to talk to about their business, we'll find somebody that can help them if they need it.
Is that through your board? You mentioned your board, but I'm assuming there's community donors. I'm assuming there's supporters and others who love the cause and are trying to figure out a way to help wherever they can.
That's right.
And what do some of those donors and or volunteers look like?
Well, I can start with the Duchess Roy Family Foundation for one, which we're very proud of that. And we have other donors that see the value of what it is that we're doing. We're doing an awful lot. When I should just say this right now, we're very involved in the suicide issue, dealing with our veterans. I'm a special ops guy from Vietnam. We know this turf extremely well. When veterans come out, especially this last 20-year run we had, they are trying to do two things. They're trying to figure out, number one, who am I now? Number two, what's my lane in life going to be? That's not easy to do. But we do have a place to start, and that is almost 50% of our World War II veterans found themselves and found hope and found a future through owning and operating their own business. Veterans today have everything that those World War II veterans had, the grit, the stamina, the team play, the intelligence, they got it all. So we're building now, I would say, got to go over this. We, in the last 4 to 5 years, we have put 62 veterans into business for themselves, not to mention many, many others that are in business that get a hold of us to get our help on coaching them for stability and profitability. That is, we exceed the national average by almost three times. It's 6% of all the veterans in America that want to get in business, 6% actually do. We're right at over triple that amount. Two reasons, our V-Harmony business model and our one-on-one trust-based coaching relationship. Out of that trust-based relationship, you develop realistic hope, hope being the last thing that disappears before a veteran takes that unfortunate choice. So we are wanting to get the word out to America that not only is there this wonderful benefit about being in business for themselves, it's a practical tap down in this suicide problem that we have in America.
Are we looking mostly in Illinois right now? Or
we're everywhere.
Where are you seeing success?
We're national. So we've had people in California, and New York, Florida. So there's a number of areas. Chicago, we're working with the city of Chicago on a veteran in every ward program. So that's our goal. There's plenty of veterans that could go back to their community and literally homestead them. And the city has been stepping up and helping with some good programming.
You know, sidebar, I used to be the executive director at the Illinois Tollway. And when I got to the Illinois Tollway, we had a very robust DBE program, Disadvantaged Business Enterprise, where contracts had goals on them for women-owned business, minority-owned businesses. And there was no goal for veteran-owned businesses, not a single goal on a single contract. And I met with the staff and I said, you know, we're all here because of what veterans sacrificed for us. Why don't we have goals? And today, the Tollway is one of the largest agencies in the state of Illinois that has veteran-owned business goals on their contracts. And to my knowledge, now I haven't been there in some time, but it's been really successful. And it makes me wonder, is this an advocacy thing in terms of getting to the governmental agencies, getting to some of the other decision makers and the elected officials?
Go ahead, Lynn. You can
talk
about
saying,
that.
And saying, how do we get these goals in place?
Thank you for your heart and doing what you did, first of all. I was on the SBA Advisory Committee for Veteran Business Affairs for 4 years. I agreed to go on that board if we would make lack of access to capital the primary goal for that entity. When I got there, I saw there were these goaling percentages in the federal government for every department of government to do certain percentage of businesses, of contracts, will go to what they view as disadvantaged individuals. Every other category except the veterans was 5%. We were 3%. And I made a point to let the folks know that I was meeting with, you know, all these other people you're talking about here, they're all in our club. We have them all. So why is it 3%, not 5%? I take the position that you take that were it not for these courageous young men and women stepping forward, we wouldn't be having this meeting anyway. So we started down that road, and that got us into also the notion of borrower standards for the SBA programs. When a veteran wants to buy a business, if they go to a bank, the bank is going to channel them over almost reflexively into the SBA program. They're not a lender, they are a guarantor. So to do that, though, you've got to meet certain criteria. So then we went after that, and we made the case to the SBA, can you please take into account, we're getting back into character here, the sacrifices and services that these veterans have made towards our country when we talk in terms of a veteran coming in to borrow, get an SBA loan. And that has been a haul, but we made headway.
What are some of the hardest things that you mentioned suicide, which you can't talk about veterans without talking about the challenges they face when they return from their service. What are some of the challenges that these guys are facing and ladies are facing?
Well, I think their challenges are that they have to acclimate themselves back to civilian life. And that's sometimes very difficult. And that's where we come and we play an important role. Because if they're having those challenges and they're having trouble dealing with suppliers or people or whatever it might be, we've pretty much met most of those problems over the years.
Dale was talking about our program. I just want to back this down one more step. Yeah. We also have a program. We call it Operation Hometown. All across America are these flyover towns, towns like where I grew up in Sullivan, Illinois. They have the need to keep their economies vibrant and sparked. So we are also working with mayors in small towns. We're going to be doing a major outreach towards small town America here in the state of Illinois. There's a prospect people have approached us. If we could find a way to keep economies in small town America going also, then that would be a great program to roll out across the country. We can do it here in Illinois. Mm-hmm. Mayors know veterans in their town that would want to be small business owner operators. They know businesses in town that want to sell.
They know their customers. They know what's going to work, what's not going to work on Main Street versus yes. other parts of their town as well.
Exactly. So with the help of those mayors, they can get people to us to come in and register. We have a formal program. We go, you have to register, and we have an initial, what we call match ready conference with our veterans to get them through that. Well, the local mayors can help us marry up those things so we know who's got what, and then we can get them through our system and so forth.
Well, okay, so you just mentioned you have a readiness program. Take me through that. I'm a veteran returning from my service, and I decide I want to avail myself of this. Do I enroll?
Do you
pick up the phone? Do I fill out a form on a website?
Well, each of those work well, but the website is where we get most of people say they saw us. They Googled us. They're looking for something for veterans. Veteran, the word veteran business goes in and we pop up first.
Once I do that.
Oh, okay. That's how it flows.
Do you reject people? Do you say, sorry, this just, you're not cut from this cloth, so to speak?
I would address that and say we have two different types of successes. We consider it a success when a veteran, as Lynn said, who comes out and doesn't know what their lane in life's going to be, they will lose hope. But by enrolling with us, and they can do it online, they're now part of a program bigger than themselves, a mission. And that's number one. Now they're at least within our grip. The second success is, do they go through our program from start to finish? In the beginning, there's an intake. Let's just assume somebody's starting off fresh. They know they want to go into business. They're not sure what it is. They share with us. We hook them up with a mentor, or myself, or whoever it might be, and we find out a little bit about them. We ascertain where they're at on that 8-point scale. Some of them, as Lynn said, are ready to get into business. Some just are starting. So each step was like a little success form, and they build on that. They might only spend 2 months with us and then drop off for several months.
Talk to me about volunteering. How do people get involved? What are you looking for in volunteers? Do you have too many volunteers?
Well, right now, we are growing exponentially. So we are expanding our coaching base. That's number one. Let me double back. The first call that we engage, if a veteran registers, then one of our coaches will call them. We want to find out, do you have any experience owning or operating a business? If they do, it could be academic, it could be classroom, it could be one of these boots to business programs that are out here in America now. But do they understand the basic principles of how to own and operate a business? Number one. Number two, have they done any homework on the mental side of this? We know that for veterans, a 9-to-5 job for money will never touch what it is that they're made up of. We are trained to a higher calling, higher purpose. That's why they raise their hand and step in to serve. They miss that. They miss that mission of that type. Now, there's many ways to scratch that itch, but one of them is building a business and recruiting other veterans and helping each other better. On the mental side, though, it's important that we help establish their values, what they're passionate about, what they care about. We send them a personalized assessment from Georgetown, and they can look at that, and that helps us kind of dial that in. The best data, though, one of the most important aspects of this, obviously, is what kind of a business will really inspire them. That's the point. You know, when you're in the military, you have a plan of the day. From the moment you wake till the moment you go to bed, there is no, and you have a job. You're eventually given a military occupational special. You're told what to do, where to go, where to show up, just like Dale was saying. Well, you don't have it anymore. You know, you got to figure that out. And so, but here's your chance to have a business that will really inspire you, something that you can serve others within, and you can serve a lot of people in a lot of different ways, whether you're a dentist, a lawyer, a businessman, or whatever. That said, it's going to take, on average, 18 to 24 months to find the business, of which there are hundreds out there now that are out there, and that would be that particular business that veteran would want to.
Gets you going.
Exactly. So you have to do a deep dive into this and encouragement. So people can be in that finding a business, you know, model or step for quite a while. We stay in touch. We have everybody in our system and our network, as Dale said. So we do stay in touch. That's what a coach does. Right now, though, we are in the process of training up some more coaches now. So our whole deal here, basically, is we've got to be better known all across the country. That number one, we exist. To our knowledge, we're the only nonprofit in the country doing this. And I'm that small-town guy from downstate Illinois. Yeah, yeah. My buddy over here is from Toledo.
Let's not forget, you got Rosie's Kitchen, and it's in Naperville, Illinois. That's not downstate by any stretch right. of the yeah, imagination. That's going to reach a couple hundred thousand people just between Naperville and Aurora. And you factor in the rest of the Chicagoland area, and you've got a real opportunity to meet a whole bunch of people.
Absolutely.
Take me back to this notion of the reduction in the number of veterans who are starting small businesses today versus post-World War II.
49.7%
post-World War II. And now it's what?
6% of veterans that want to do it actually end up doing it.
Okay. Is that trend stabilized? Is that with your work? Are you starting to see, is it too soon? Are you starting to see that trend go up?
Well, I think the same 50% is there that wants to go into business. About 200,000 come off of active service and transition out of the military every year. I would venture to say that at least half of them want to be in business for themselves. They think that to get into it is too difficult. They're not sure how to start. So that's where that, and the access to the money. So why even bother? So I think that's why the number is so low. But I think in their minds, they would love to do it.
Okay. So the resources that I'm hearing from you guys, financial, educational, advisory, others?
Finance is the number one.
That was going to be my question. I mean, every angel investor I know, every venture capitalist I know is looking for a unicorn, that one business that's going to take off. And they're always looking for the next great idea. What about the next great leader? What about the next great person who's running that idea?
I think all these veterans are the unicorns. They are the ones you grab onto one, and they have such desire and interest. Not everybody is that way. Some people think they want to go into business and they find out it wasn't for them. So I don't want to paint this rosy picture that's not work. But
no, I think everybody listening to this podcast knows that it's being a veteran is hard work.
That's hard. And if you can do that, you can do, you can handle a business. But finding the money, not always. I've never had a problem with it. And in operating in business, the one thing I've done for years is operate undercapitalized businesses. So I know the pitfalls they're going to run into. And I know how to help them get through those hurdles. And by linking up with us, banks feel comfortable that we know what we're doing. We've shown them by example some of the businesses we've brought to them. And they're usually $500,000 and below.
Well, you mentioned one of our partners at Choose DuPage, Wintrust, longtime supporter of Choose DuPage, longtime supporter of economic development and business in DuPage County in the Chicagoland area. Are there more like Wintrust out there?
There are. Old National Bank, these are banks I've dealt with over the years. But there's also a program, CDFIs. And
what is a CDF?
The Community Development Financial Institutions. I kind of look at them as they do smaller loans. It's the ones banks like Chase, they really don't want to be bothered with a $500,000 loan. They can't make money on it. So what they will do is they will fund a community development, a CDFI, and say, you find the business, you make the loans.
Okay,
once they get the
too.
Training wheels, we'll take them.
Okay. Again, looking for that unicorn.
What I learned quite a bit by being out in D.C. all the time, what really matters out there, it's all about money. Mm-hmm. That's what you learned. All about money. It's politics masquerading. It's money masquerading as politics. One of the things we learned is there's vertical communication in these departments, but there's also lateral communication. We had a gentleman come in for the Department of Treasury and was briefing our committee because one committee person had heard about the CDFA program, and they're briefing us on how it works. And all of us members of the committee were looking at each other rather slack-jawed, like, gracious sakes, why haven't we heard about this before? Mm-hmm. CDFI is a very good approach through Treasury to help people, these underserved individuals, to qualify for loans and move on ahead in business. So there's some things there. Dale also, he's been in business now for over five decades, and he understands some creativity in lending too. Sometimes a owner who wants to sell their business will take a subordinated note and drop down the amount that the veteran's got to borrow. Sometimes there's equity workouts as well. But this is where savvy in business can come in and work things out. And it's also a help in some cases when you're trying to work out a deal with a veteran, when you're talking about working it right with the owner and the seller. That happens too. We pretty much experience about any kind of evolution you can imagine.
Where do you see this going in 3 to 5 years? What's the sustainability plan? What's your guys' transition plan? I mean, you sound like you're lifers. You sound like you're more than a 20-year military commitment. This sounds like you guys are both committed for the foreseeable future, but how does this sustain itself?
We are growing rapidly. Right now, we're out in a major fundraising initiative also. We need to mount a major marketing campaign across the country to let it know, let these people know this is real and we're here. And it's not that we have to do it alone, you know, in this country. There are other entities that could get on board with the V-Harmony process too. We would love that. We need more veterans in that zone. So we're mounting a major fundraising campaign. We're trying to basically triple our budget over what we have now. We need to get more people aware and more people through the program and coached through the program with also the administrative support structure that goes with it. But I also want to say this, if I could.
Please.
The very bottom line of why we do what we do. Now, there's a young, bright man named Simon Sinek. I bet you've heard of Simon Sinek. He's done these YouTubes, and one of the YouTubes was Start With Why. So Dale and I looked at this, and we got our board together, and we said, let's figure out, why are we doing this, really, truly? What's at the bottom of it all? You know, it came down to one thing, suicide. What can we do? We changed our logo, our model, if you will, from getting veterans into business to offering hope and saving lives. That is the very bottom line. We are in our 23rd year of minimum 6,000 veteran suicides per year, consecutive years. That number is over 132,000 in a very small population to begin with. On top of that, Terry Prince, this wonderful gentleman who heads up the veterans program for the entire state of Illinois, he's a retired Navy chief. And the data that Terry has presented to us indicates that for every single suicide, there are 135 people that are caught up in the backwash of that tragedy. So 22 years of that, we're now at a figure of 17,800,000 people that have been caught up in this. It's breathtaking. And so at the very bottom line of what we do, and we've told ourselves this, if we save one life in all of this, the whole thing was worth it. But we're doing a lot more than that. We need to do a whole lot more than that than where we're at. So we are in a growth mode, and that's what keeps him and me going. The more people know about this and learn about what we're doing and the practical aspect of it, we are boots on the ground.
I'm going to encourage both of you guys to listen to a previous podcast that we did on mental health right here in this studio. DuPage County is proud that we, due to the leadership of our county board chair, Deb Conroy, and the rest of our county board members, opened the first of its kind crisis recovery center here in DuPage County, Illinois, where nobody is turned away, children, uninsured, because as Chair Conroy points out, it's okay to not be okay, but emergency rooms and police stations are not the spots where folks who are in crisis need to go most times in order to get the help that they need. And as I'm sitting here talking to you gentlemen, I'm thinking that's another connection that I need to foster, because I'm sure the Crisis Recovery Center is brand spanking new to DuPage County, but I'm sure there's a veteran component associated with it, because mental health doesn't discriminate against veterans or non-veterans. So, Lynn or Dale, tell me about your upcoming fundraiser.
November 6th from 5:30 to 8 o'clock at the Maison Sabika restaurant over in Naperville, Illinois. That will be our second annual fundraiser. We got people from the Duchossois Family Foundation heard about us. Craig Duchossois was a Marine in Vietnam, great guy. And they were our first major foundation that went with us. And so they really lifted us off the launch pad. We're now at stage 2 rocket launcher.
Okay.
So last year we had our first fundraiser. Now this is our second. So it's going to be November 6th there at the Maison Sabika in Naperville, Illinois.
In the evening, 5 o'clock-ish?
5:30 p.m.
5:30 p.m.
8 o'clock p.m.
So that fundraiser is open to the public. Is there a cost associated?
Yes, it's $50 per person.
And the money goes to Veteran Business
Directly
Project.
Directly to Veteran Business Project.
Well, I'm sure that most of the folks listening will recognize that that is a worthwhile investment, not only in the lives of our veterans, but in the business community and all the people that they touch. All right, tell me how we can get people connected with the Veterans Business Project, other than going to Rosie's Kitchen. Another shameless plug for Rosie's Kitchen, because we want to make sure people support the organization that helps support you guys.
Well, we appreciate that. Well, we have one of the longest names, I think, as a website. It's just all spelled out, veteran, singular, veteranbusinessproject.org is our website. And the other one would be to email us as info@veteranbusinessproject.org.
Great. And I would normally at this point ask for kind of some closing thoughts, but Lynn, I think you just crystallized it and you just nailed it on the head with the commentary that you said about what this is all about. What is your why and what is your mission? And again, as the son of a military veteran, thank you for your service. Every morning I wake up because of what my father and folks like you did so that I could sit behind a microphone and do a podcast. So thank you, gentlemen. Thank you for being here.
Thanks for having us, and thank you for your heart.
We appreciate it. That's it for today's show. Lynn and Dale, thank you so much for joining me. And as always, thank you to the College of DuPage for supporting today's very special episode. To keep up with what's happening in DuPage County and the Chicagoland region, follow Choose DuPage on social media or visit choosedupage.com. I'm Greg Bedlove. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next time on the DuPage Business Beat.